Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And today I'm really excited because today is all about video. And I know you've heard a lot of things about video, but we're going to talk about how to use live video as a strategy, and more importantly, as a launch strategy. And we know that means sales. So I'm really excited today for our guest. So let me introduce you to her. Her name is Bridget Aileen Sisco, and she's the founder of Exalted Publishing House, a podcast host and sales and messaging coach. She helps successful entrepreneurs stand out and be featured as a leader in their industry through sharing powerful stories. Bridget's a two-time best-selling author and has been featured in Authority Magazine, on Ticker News, News 12 New York, numerous five-star podcasts, and has created hundreds of videos for her YouTube channel, growing Facebook group, and Instagram. So we're talking to somebody who is walking the walk, not just talking the talk. So thank you so much, Bridget, for being here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Patty. I'm excited.
Well, I'm really, really excited too. I think this is a topic that I literally could have dozens of people on my podcast, but I love that everybody has this like unique perspective of what they bring to the table, right? Because you're not reinventing ice cream. You're just finding your own flavor. And I think that's really important, but I don't think people really think about some of the components of why live video is so important. And so I love that you're going to come in with us today and kind of break down some of those for us and how important it is and what they can do for you, because that's what everybody wants to know. What's the results I'm going to get, right? But let's kind of backtrack for just a second and tell me a little bit about your background, because you're not very old, right? You know, and so like, how did you get into this? Like, how did it work for you? I mean, you have quite a expert resume there in your bio and stuff like, so give us a little bit of history and a little bit of your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I like to take it back to when I was quite young. I was 15 or 16 and I was diagnosed with Lyme disease. And I was just dealing with a number of co-infections, really frustrated in my life, and didn't feel like I was getting the answers that I wanted that were really helping me at that time. So I set out on this journey to study holistic health, to study nutrition, yoga, Ayurveda. And you know, the journey goes on. I graduate college. I get my first job in sales, working at Yelp in New York City. So that was my first taste of what I'm doing today. But I didn't fully feel satisfied or fulfilled. And it's really only been in recent years that I realized that moment when I was young, dealing with health issues, frustrated from the doctors, and not feeling seen or heard, that gave me my mission to do what I do today, which is literally all about sharing stories, amplifying voices. And in the more recent years, I've understood that there are strategies to do that in the online space. And that's why there's different elements to my business. One part is sharing it through books and stories, but the other part is guiding people to use their voice online. Because for so many of us, it is very scary because we feel naked, we can feel vulnerable. It really is what connects us. But I have this deep belief that people buy from people at the end of the day. And many of us have icky feelings around sales, maybe because of some of these like car salesman tactics that we see or experience. And I really want to make the sales process and experience not only expansive for me, but anyone I come into contact with. And that's why live video is exciting, because people can see you, they understand your personality, they get to know you, and you're able to speak to people in a way that they can understand beyond just a quote or a post on social media. They start to get you because they hear your voice.
I think that is so true. And a lot of times I don't think we realize how powerful our stories really are. I know when I was growing up, here's a surprise, but I was called Chatty Patty. That's what my family called me, Chatty Patty. And there, you know, and I kind of thought it was funny, but I don't think I really saw it as a positive. And my parents used to say to me all the time, Patty, we'll give you $5 if you could just be quiet for 30 minutes. And I never once got the $5. And so I grew up thinking that I should be quiet all the time. And I really didn't have a voice or think that people would care about what I had to say. And unfortunately, by the time I went to live radio, and I had another podcast before this one, but before I did that and started speaking on stages, my mom passed away. But I kept thinking to myself, Mom, are you paying attention? Because people actually pay me to talk now, right? You know, I mean, it's kind of funny, right? You know, I know she is hearing it and seeing it, but I think to myself, who would have known that, right? And you really don't know. And then I think the second thing really is that, you know, we all do kind of just share. And I think a lot of times on social, especially, people want to pick and choose what they share, right? You know, and I think that that can give an illusion that people live in this perfect world, especially when people see successful people and they think, oh, nothing ever bad ever happens to them. Their life is so perfect because they never really share. And I remember, without going into detail, but back a year or so ago when the big Me Too movement was really going on, that I just felt compelled one day when somebody shared their story to just kind of in the comments share a little bit about mine. It was in the comments, so it was very, very brief. But a few people saw it, and I can't tell you from a comment, not even a post, but a comment, how many people came to me and said, you know what, Patty, I respect you even more now, like so much. And I was like, really? Because I think in the beginning for me, I just didn't want to use my story, right? We all have a story, and some stories are not always so perfect, right? I didn't want that to be a marketing strategy, right? You know, I'm in marketing. And so I chose not really to keep it a secret. The people who knew me, I shared the story. I didn't shout it from the rooftops, right? But now I realize that there's the right way and the wrong way to share a story. And it can be very, very powerful. And I have to tell you, I got my brave on, like I like to say. And when I did my new website, I actually have on my about page this little section where I actually give kind of some little trivia about me. And I have to tell you, at least 4 to 5 out of 10 times when people connect with me and have gone to my website, they'll mention something in that those facts there. They'll say, oh, Patty, I didn't know. And I know that the only way they got that was from doing that. And I realize that people really do want to know the stuff. So I think vulnerable and visible are hand in hand, and they're very, very important. So your stories really are powerful. And let's get real. If in the end, which is what made it work for me, was really thinking that, you know what, it wasn't that I didn't want to share my story, but like I said, I just didn't want it to be a marketing strategy. But once I realized that if telling your story could change one person's life, or somebody made a different decision because of your story, isn't that what everything is all about? So I think it's really important. And now we have video, which is even, you know, people can actually see you when you're doing it. So I think that's really, really important. So, you know, let's kind of go into that, because I have to tell you, you kind of talk about that a lot in that powerful story thing. So really, you just kind of touched on it, but let's go a little bit deeper into why live video works.
Yeah, so obviously video works because of the vulnerability and the storytelling piece. But when you are live with them in real time, there's nothing more potent because you can engage together. They can ask questions. It's like being on a sales call with maybe 20, 40 people at once. You can answer people's questions. You can feed off of the comments. You can also drive engagement just by having more people on it, have them liking it, have them commenting on it. So it drives engagement. They get to know you. And ultimately, live video, and any type of video in this case, builds that know, like, and trust factor. And we know that that also drives sales because people buy from people. So if they are then in live time with you and you are smart and strategic about what you are sharing. So say you have an upcoming launch and you start to identify some of the desires or pain points of your clients, whatever it might be, and you go on and you teach them something that they've dreamed of learning about. And they show up on that live video because they like you. They're about to mark their calendars for you if you let them know ahead of time. And then you're simply sharing, you're teaching, you're giving value, you're sharing who you are, you're being yourself. And ultimately, I find the sale quite simple because it doesn't have to feel like you are pushing something. It's like, I've given you a lot of value now. We've gotten to know each other. I probably helped you through this process. Here's a way to work with me further. Here's the opportunity. Here's the invitation. Here's the link. Sign up.
You know, I feel like in a way, as a speaker, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, when I hear a speaker, you know, whether it is virtual or in person, you know, oh, I know they're going to sell me something. They're going to try to sell me something. And I actually really think that people need to do a mindset shift on that, because here's what I believe. I believe that if I'm taking my time, be it 30 minutes or an hour, and whether I'm sitting on a Zoom call or I'm traveling, paying for airfare, a hotel room, food to go listen to somebody, I'm not walking in there with my arms crossed thinking, don't try to sell me something. I'm walking in there thinking to myself, I'm praying that the person that's on that stage has the answer to whatever it is that I'm looking for, that I want to move my business forward. And that in actuality, to share value with someone and not invite them in to take the next step of what they would need to move forward, it's almost like doing them a disservice. It's like, okay, I shared this value with you. Go figure it out yourself. Right? You know, so sales is not sleazy if you do it right. And here's what I personally, this is just my personal belief about it, is I come from a service mindset. And I feel like the only difference between serving and selling is your intention. So get your mindset right. And as long as your mindset is right, it's not going to come across that way. And I think video really gives you the opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. We're so on the same wavelength. I think for most people, this has to be a perspective shift of remembering that what you have to offer someone could be the answer to their prayers. This is the godsend that maybe they've been looking for. And I see any type of exchange like this as an opportunity, not as something sleazy. And if we believe in what we are selling and we have a mission and a message that we know we're here to share, like that's how I believe so, so strongly in what I do. And I know that when I talk about this, I get jazzed, I get lit up, and people can feel that. That's why when we then get on video and they hear us, which sound strikes a chord within all of us, it moves us in ways, and then they see how we basically interact with what it is that we do, it becomes quite simple. And of course, there are some pieces of strategy, right, that we want to talk about, like titles, how to do this, how to actually construct your conversation. I think it's so much about your intention and the service aspect. So I'm so grateful that you mentioned that.
Well, I think it's really important because the reality really is we're all selling something ourselves or whatever, right? You know, but the fact of the matter is part of what the story does is, come on, how many people sell video, right? Hundreds, if not thousands and thousands. I think video and your story specifically helps people to know, not that this value that you gave us wasn't something I wanted to learn, but are you the person that I need to teach it to me to shorten my learning curve? And that's what video really can do for you too. But with that said, there needs to be a way that you strategically, right, market it, because a lot of times, especially when you're involved in story, it brings up emotions, right? And in that moment of emotions, they're not thinking about, oh, wow, I should purchase this, right? But the bottom line is, if you're an expert in your field, and hopefully everyone is, that just means that you understand that people have a problem and you have a solution. But until you become an authority, which means that you're talking to a target buyer, which means that they have a problem and you have a solution, but they're actively looking for that solution, that's where the strategy comes. And it's not always strategy to make a sale, although there is part of that is, right? But it's actually helping somebody to get to the point where they can get past all the emotion to make that purchasing decision that is actually going to help them. So the strategy, yes, you can look at it and say, oh, well, that's just a strategy to try to make more sales. Okay, yeah. And there is a point to that. Why are we doing what we're doing if it isn't for that and to help people, right? But the bottom line is you have to help other people who may have had some sleazy salesperson sell to them, and you need to help them. And so there does have to be some strategy so you don't get stuck in the mucky muck. There is a thing. Here's what's happening. Here's what you need. Here's the value I gave you. Do you want to take the next step? If you do, here's what the next step is. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As a matter of fact, I think people want a clear and concise way to get to their answer, right? You know, and not get stuck. And so really, as the expert, we're just guiding them to that. Then they could say yes, no, or no, not now, right? You know, it's totally up to them. So they always have the choice to do that. So let's kind of talk about what you just said about those strategy. And specifically, let's kind of talk about creating rock star titles, because the reality really is that I know that even on my own podcast, right, you know, whatever we're talking, I know that the reality is that we're going to have more people listen to this podcast if we have a super cool, sexy title. I also have a magazine, and sometimes people will send me their articles and I'll be like, hey, we're going to edit that title to be a little bit more juicy because we want people to open the magazine to read those articles. We want them to listen to the podcast. So sexy rock star titles matter. So let's talk about how to create them.
Yeah, totally. It's very similar to any type of press and media and a headline. If it grabs your attention, you're probably going to go and read it. So you first have to start to do some of the kind of dissecting messaging work of what does your client actually desire? And then actually saying that in a way that's bold. I believe in making bold statements and bold claims because we have to stand out some way online. So if you are teaching something, I would say how to do X, Y, and Z based on their desire, but put it in a way that you have to understand how they speak. You have to understand how they think about something, and you have to understand what they want. And you simply use those desires and give it to them in a silver platter so that when they're scrolling on Instagram, we call this, they stop the scroll and they say, holy crow, I am marking my calendar so I can watch that with that person. I need to be there. Right? How to turn your stories into sales. That's something that someone would want to learn about. They want to learn. I love the title of this podcast, marketing, media. We need all of it. We need all of it. So how to
create the result, marketing, media, and money, because that's what they really want to do is monetize.
Right. So first you have to ask yourself, what does my client want? What do they desire? And not just the features. What are the benefits and what is the outcome of the desire? You know, how to hit 10K months by using live video. That was a huge title I used for a very long time because I knew that where my clients were at, that was one of their next goals. And I knew that they wanted to use live video as part of their launch strategy or at least learn how to do so. So we need to have these titles that stand out. And what I like to tell people to do first is literally make a list of 25 to 50 titles so that they know exactly that they can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They can take a look at their content that they already have and basically pull from what they've already written. Like you said, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. We can work from what we already have and start using them. Start testing what's working. It's marketing. Test it. See what works.
I love that. One of the things that I like to do, one tip that I'll give is, and I think it has really worked for me, and I've told other people and they've said, oh, wow, I started using that, Patty, and that works really well for me too, is like I get my best titles by going to Amazon. I just go to Amazon and do searches in Amazon and stuff, see what comes up. And then we're like, oh, how can I, you know, we're not saying steal somebody's title, obviously, right? Because it's attached to them, or do any type of plagiarism. But you can look at a title about anything and just say, oh, can I rework that title for what I do in some type of way? And not only that, but you see how they rank. You're like, oh, those are words that people really, really like. So there is some strategy involved in that too, right? You know, but hey, certain words evoke certain emotions. And if that's the emotion that is your ideal buyer, then that's what they need, right? You know, because we make our decisions emotionally, but people justify writing the check with data. So you need to be able to hit the emotion and know why do they want to do it. And then you better have some data to back it up once they do make that decision, right? You know, so I think that is really important. So how is live video a good speaking practice, right? You know, because I think it really works, and I've heard you talk about that. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So one of the big goals for many of my clients, they want to speak on stages one day. Maybe they want to do a TEDx talk, maybe they want to be a keynote speaker, go to a conference, speak. I always say that speaking is not a spectator sport. I do not believe that you can sit in a conference and just take notes on it. I believe you have to get down and dirty in the action. You have to put yourself out there. And what I have learned and realized is that when we speak, things tend to become more clear to us. Our message begins to become more clear. So for many of my clients, I recommend that they start using live video as one of the first stepping stones into expanding their influence and standing out more online. So not only are they going to have the practice of repetition, which is something I believe in so, so strongly, they will be able to start putting themselves in front of their clients. So they have the aspect of a lot of practice for themselves, but they're also using it as a marketing tool for their programs, for their products, for their services. And together, I believe it's just a win-win. I do not see any negative that could come out of live video, except for a massive learning curve and hopefully some money along the way.
Oh, that's a tough one. But I think it is really important. I remember that video was super hard for me, and I'm a speaker, and it was really hard for me because after you would see people, they come and see you and they take pictures of you with their cell phones and you're in the middle of your mouth, you know, like when they do it because you're in motion and they're taking this and then they put them all over social media and you're like, really? Like, you know, you have all this professional work done, and then all of a sudden you just have to get over that and just realize, you know, what do you think? And, you know, to be super vulnerable, I remember when I first did video, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I look fat on video. I know everybody thinks that, right? Oh, we look chubbier on video and all this kind of stuff. And I got hung up on that too, like most people. And I finally just said, well, then lose weight, right? You know, if you don't like it, right? Which I did. But the bottom line is one of my best friend who is not an entrepreneur at all, I was whining to her about that. And she just looked at me and she said, well, Patty, do you think that when it was really kind of funny, she looked at me, it was bold. And she said, well, do you really honestly think that when people see you everywhere else, they think you're a size 5, but then when you get on video, they're going, oh my gosh, like she's not a size 5. Like they see you everywhere else. They see you on stage. They know you're not a size 5, but I don't think they're listening to you. You're not talking about losing weight. That's not your area of expertise. So get over yourself, right? And I started laughing because, you know, as an entrepreneur, we get in our own head, right? And once I got past that and realized that if you're actually watching me on video and you are worried more about what I look like than the value that I'm giving you for your business, well, then, you know, that's on you. You're doing the wrong thing. Like you should be paying, listen, right, to what I'm saying. And so I feel like we do get in our own head about that. But the reality is once I started doing video and I just went out there and started doing it. And this is what I like to tell people, the same thing when you first start blogging. You know, back in the day, I remember somebody told me once, oh, don't worry about it. Just go do it. Your first 50 are going to suck anyway. Right. And I was like, what? You know, whatever. And I think, you know what, I've gone back and looked at some of my first videos. Yeah, they kind of weren't that great. Right. But I have to tell you, I closed clients from some of those videos because they weren't hiring me for how good I looked on video. And I think a lot of times when you're telling somebody that you can show them something, they're looking at it going, well, if you can do that, I can do that, right? You know, so I don't think we should get in our own head about that. So you're right. And if anybody does want to be a speaker, that's a really great way to get comfortable, because you're not going to get comfortable with anything until you do it, right? You know, so I think I know some people who were starting to do video at the same time I were doing it. And now they talk about video all the time and they are rock stars, man. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're so good. So the reality really is that do a little of this and a little of that. Nobody says you have to make that be your whole thing, right? You know, so let's kind of talk about that. So if somebody really hasn't embraced video and they're just doing a Facebook Live here or there, they're just doing a little bit, right? Whatever. So what are some tips that you could give them on what are the most important things that they need to worry about? How can they look better on camera, or like just some tips that would make them feel better about, you know, they should, just so that they can move forward a little bit if they haven't really embraced it?
I like to give the unsexy truth, which is you just have to continuously show up. And that's not the answer we want, right? We want the perfect gold medal idea here, but you need to just continue to show up. So I say start with, you know, 3 videos a week maybe, and just show up. Now, if your biggest concern is how you look, which I'm going to tell you the honest truth, I asked a question, a group of 400,000 women, and I want to say I got 500 answers, and most of them were saying, I don't like the way I look. So you're number one, you're not alone in feeling that way. So I hope that that gives everyone that big hug from me. But make yourself feel good. I like to do a little dance party because we need to get out of our own head. We need to get out of our way, because if we're making this about ourselves, we're probably forgetting of the service aspect of why we are doing this in the first place. I like to put on something. I like to put on some lipstick. Make yourself feel good so that you feel like you're showing up on stage. I really do believe, I do a lot of work with energetics and sitting in the future vision of the wish fulfilled. I'm already on those stages, right? So you can be doing the same thing here. You can already be in front of your clients. You can see the wish fulfilled. So that's a little bit more of the intangible. Tangible is show up every single day, have your sexy titles, and have a clear-cut call to action so that your community knows where to go next. Like you said in the beginning, Patty, if we don't have an invitation for them, we're doing a disservice. We're providing all this value. We're showing up. We're connecting with them on a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul strategy level. And then we're just letting it fall? No, we need some type of next step, because everything that we're doing in sales and business is we're taking the person on a journey. We're identifying where they're at. We understand where that is. We understand what they need to get to X, Y, Z. And you're just inviting them to go with you. You're being the support system. And when you're live, it's not hard to do that, because you can simply, hi, I'm inviting you to come on this with me, do this with me. You've already seen that this works. We've been here together for a little while. You simply make the invitation. So the unsexy truth here is you need to continuously show up, because people are going to start to notice, oh, wow, they do this a lot. What are they talking about? What do they have to say? Video sets you apart. Everyone can post these days. It's the norm. Video sets you apart, and your voice is very, very powerful. Do not forget that.
Oh, I think that is. So I always like to know what not to do as much as I know what to do. So what would you say is a common myth in the video industry? Like, you know, like the thing that everybody gets hung up on, right? You know, like they think, and it's like, it's not even accurate, but we think it, right? Because there's myths in everything. And I always like to say, let's kind of debunk a myth, or what's a mistake? Like, you know, whichever works for you. Like, you know, is there something that you see people do over and over and over? And stuff. And really, if you could tell them, stop doing that, what would that be?
I'm pretty simple. I don't like to get too caught up in super techie, overwhelmed space, because that's when we get in our head. You do not need the perfect tech equipment to do live video. You need a phone, maybe a computer screen. You don't even need a nice microphone. Just show up, because you're going to get in your own way if you're starting to research, you know, the best microphones for live video. And now as you progress, maybe you do that. But when you start, you have to just start. And this is my mentality for everything I do in life. Just start. And you're right, because if I looked back at the videos I started doing 3 or 4 years ago, they are very funny and cringeworthy to watch. But thank God I started doing them, because they changed my life. They changed my business. They changed my community, because people saw me showing up for myself and for them. So get out of your own mind.
I absolutely love that. So Bridget, I know people are going to want to connect with you for sure. So what's the easiest way for them to connect with you? And of course, your YouTube channel, which we will have in the show notes too.
Great. So you can just find me at my website. It's www.bridgetaileen.com.
Awesome. And we'll also have that in the show notes. So that'll be really great. And like a great guest, you came bearing a gift. And so tell us a little bit about the gift, and we'll put the link in the show notes as well.
Sure. So this is 3 steps to start using your voice online. So this is for the person who is dead scared to press that go live button, and they need a little bit of cheering and camaraderie in the background. So it's a 3-part series. No, excuse me. It's 3 steps to do so. And then I've also added 5 videos on live video, ideal client, talking to them, confidence, sharing your message. So there's a lot of value there, and I hope everyone enjoys it.
I love that. That's a really good, great gift. Thank you so much. And this is the Marketing Media Money Show. And so we always love to wrap up our show by turning the mic over to our guest, kind of my version of social karaoke. And we hand the mic over and say, what would your number one marketing media or money strategy be?
Here we go. Use your voice. No one knows that you're selling something if you don't talk about it.
Oh, that's right. Tell those stories. Told to sold. That's what I like to say. Told to sold. That's a great tip. Love that. So thank you so much for being here with me, Bridget. I really, really appreciate it so much for you just taking the time to be here with me this morning.
Thank you so much, Patty. This has been such a joy and I love what you are doing. I saw some of the episodes. They are incredible.
Thank you so much. And I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, the Exacta Corporation, developer of the Family Organizer Plus platform. And for more information, check them out at exactacorp.com. So thank you for joining us, everyone, on the Marketing Media Money Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, and I'm sure you did, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. Until next week, I hope everybody has a phenomenal week.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.